Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello, and welcome back. I'm Father Edward Looney. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Green Bay, a pastor, author, podcaster, Marian theologian, and at present, the president of the Mariological Society of America. And this is the Commentaries series on the Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Today is day number 12, and we will be discussing the Immaculate Conception, focusing on part 2, discourse 1, on Mary's Immaculate Conception. But before we dive into the text, let's first begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I chose that little prayer, just a one-liner, of course, because it refers to Mary's Immaculate Conception. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. This is the prayer that surrounds the medal of the Immaculate Conception, or as we call it, the Miraculous Medal, that in the 1830s, St. Catherine Labouré receives this apparition of Our Lady, who gives her this little prayer, this little supplication. It would be in 1854 that the Holy Father would define Mary's Immaculate Conception. And then in 1858, almost as a confirmation of this new dogma, new in the sense of being declared, ancient in the fact that the fathers of the church attested to it and many saints had written about it. But that when Our Lady appeared to Saint Bernadette in Lourdes, she told her, I am the Immaculate Conception. So Mary identifies herself as the one who is conceived without sin. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception is quite an interesting one because, as I mentioned, declared a dogma in 1854. But we have centuries upon centuries of Catholic witnesses to this teaching of Mary's Immaculate Conception. Now, some of the great Marian thinkers and other intellectual saints of our tradition, they actually kind of had a belief around the Immaculate Conception that isn't what the church teaches today. For example, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, known as the preeminent preacher of the Virgin Mother's glory, that he believed Mary was sanctified in the womb. Or St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas, who gives us the Summa Theologiae, this great overview of Catholic theology, thought, tradition. He also believed in a delayed ensoulment and that Mary wasn't necessarily preserved from original sin at the very moment of her conception, but that she was without sin, that again, kind of this sanctification in the womb, something that we see talked about when it comes to Saint John the Baptist. So you have this reality where kind of not a dogma, right? So it was a theological opinion. People were talking about it. They were theologizing. They were trying to understand what it meant when we said Mary was the sinless Virgin Mary. This is language used in the prayers of the church. I think, too, what's interesting when it comes to the Immaculate Conception is that in the church, there were religious communities dedicated to the Immaculate Conception. Long before the dogma was defined. So their order already, in a sense, anticipated the dogma, but espouses the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. You know, you have the Conceptionista sisters. You have the Marian fathers of the Blessed Virgin Mary of the Immaculate Conception, or the MICs. Many people today know them because of some of their popular priests like Father Donald Calloway or Father Chris Alar or Father Michael Gately, to name just a few. But their order was founded by Father Stanislaus Pepczynski, Saint Stanislaus Pepczynski, dedicated under the patronage of the Immaculate Conception, kind of anticipating the day that the church would widely proclaim and already dedicated to the Immaculata in that regard. So we have this discourse on the Virgin Mary given to us by Saint Alphonsus in The Glories of Mary. And what he does quite beautifully is he shows us why it is fitting for Our Lady to be immaculately conceived in her relationship to the Trinity. So because of her relationship to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that Mary being preserved from original sin, that this is an action, this is a working of the Holy Trinity. It was fitting that God the Father would preserve her from sin, because in the end, God the Father calls her to be the mother of the Savior. And so by her yes, she is going to be the one who is the repairer of the original sin. And so God the Father, in this plan of salvation, creates her in his grace, destining her to be the repairer of the lost world, as Saint Alphonsus says. That's a direct quote from him. God also would preserve her, God the Father, from original sin, because he knew how powerful she would be in combating the evil one. And so the one who causes and leads others into sin would be destroyed by one who is without sin. So it was fitting that God the Father would preserve her. And then it was fitting that she was preserved from original sin for the sake of the Son. Because Jesus, as God, he's perfect, without sin. And so how fitting that it would be that the mother of the Son would be without sin as well. That no sin could touch the Lord Jesus. No sin could touch Our Lady. Alphonsus Liguori tells us that this is really attested to at the Annunciation. Because at the Annunciation, it says, the angel tells Mary that she is full of grace. And one of these attributes of being full of grace without sin. And then thirdly, it was fitting that she was immaculately conceived because of the Holy Spirit. She becomes a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, as Mary is a shrine of the Holy Spirit, enters into two immaculate bodies, that of the Blessed Virgin, and then facilitating the conception of the Son. And so for the Holy Spirit to act so powerfully in the life of Mary, fitting that she would be preserved from original sin, allowing her to become that shrine of the Holy Spirit. We really could talk about the Immaculate Conception in lots of different ways, but I really like this way that St. Alphonsus Liguori brings it out. Look at it as in terms of Mary's relationship to the Holy Trinity, and that it was fitting for the Father to preserve her for the sake of the Son and for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you want to study the Immaculate Conception, of course, you could go and read the document of the Holy Father from 1854. You could see, and in that document, you know, the beauty of these documents is that they tell us how the saints attested to it, how it's been believed throughout our Catholic tradition. Alphonsus Liguori says, even the scriptures testify to the Immaculate Conception, and he cites the book of Proverbs, of all books, an Old Testament book, but finding in there, in the scriptures, traces of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. This is a belief that we have, first a doctrine, now a dogma of the church. It's a liturgical feast day of the church, December 8th, a holy day. She is the patroness of the United States of America. And the Immaculate Conception is when Mary was conceived in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. And that 9 months passing from the Immaculate Conception, on December 8th, we have her birth. So, that's to clear up any misunderstanding. You know, lots of uneducated believers might believe that the Immaculate Conception is the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary, but that is not true. It is Mary's conception. And it's really a feast in which we realize that God had a special plan for Mary from the very beginning of her life. And really, we could say for each one of us that just as God had that plan for Mary, he has a plan for us. We have sin, but Mary can help us and intercede for us as the sinless virgin to help us to detach from the sins of our life. This brings us a close to our reflection today for day number 12, as we reflected about the theology of the Immaculate Conception, looking at what St. Alphonsus Liguori offers us in part 2, discourse 1. I hope that you will join us again tomorrow as we continue our reflections. And tomorrow we will be looking at discourse 2, on the birth of Mary. Until then, may God bless you, and may the sinless Virgin Mary pray for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Glories of Mary and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.